You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. Well, a new week of the baseball offseason. We might be past really the dead period of the baseball offseason. Right around Thanksgiving, things really do not happen. But we are at the Monday after Thanksgiving. Hope you all enjoyed your holiday and the weekend. And now back to off-season Orioles baseball. And on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, we'll break down some news from around the league as a couple of signings were made this weekend and some news coming out, some off-season things from around baseball. The Orioles making an announcement having to do with COVID-19 testing. And then coming up after the break, we are going to answer a question here on another Mailbag Monday edition of the podcast. It has to do with who the Orioles might still add to this roster. Now, we know the O's aren't going to be very active in free agency, but they'll make a couple signings before this offseason is over, and we want to take a look at what kind of veteran pitchers the Orioles might try to bring in, similar to a Tommy Malone and a Wade LeBlanc from last season. We'll talk about that after the break. But first, the Orioles making an announcement today, good move by the O's, that the Orioles announced a plan to facilitate COVID-19 testing for Elevate Baltimore educators and staff. They will regularly administer tests through January of 2021 as the club continues to try and serve the Baltimore community throughout this COVID-19 pandemic. So the Orioles offering tests to a lot of educators in the area as part of the Elevate Baltimore program, which the Orioles have partnered with. So a good thing the O's are doing there to try and get some more tests readily available to more people as the cases continue to rise here in Maryland. Now, we were back under 2,000 cases today on Monday, but have had a lot of days over 2,000, set the new record for cases in Maryland sometime last week, and the really second spike seems to be happening right now, so the Orioles trying to get some more people some COVID-19 tests. Now, as far as news around the league is concerned, it wasn't a super busy weekend, but we did miss a few things, starting with a starting pitcher signing a free agent deal. Mike Minor, who has bounced around the last couple of years, he was with Texas and then was traded to Oakland at the deadline in 2020, pitched for both of those teams, ended up pitching out of the pen for Oakland in the postseason. He has agreed to a contract with the Kansas City Royals, and it's a two-year deal for Minor to return to Kansas City as he pitched for KC in 2017. He signed a two-year deal with the Royals before 2016, but he missed all of 2016 with a shoulder injury, and then he pitched in relief in 2017 for the Royals and was really, really good, 2.55 ERA in just about 78 innings out of the pen. Then he signed that deal with the Rangers, was traded to Oakland in the last year of the deal. Now he signs back with KC. So we'll see if he goes back to a starter role, which he took with Texas, or if he goes back into the bullpen, which he was doing with KC, and what he did with Oakland at the end of the year. More news. We've, you know, been covering the KBO loosely. We told you about how Mike Wright and the NC Dinos won their first Korean series last week. The Dinos have posted one of their best players. Sungbum Na has been posted. He had an incredible season at age 31. Did not win KBO MVP. That went to Mel Rojas Jr., but he was in the running. Ended up hitting .324, .390 on base, 34 homers, 37 doubles in just over 600 plate appearances this year. But he is a big strikeout guy, and that number would only go up going from KBO to Major League Baseball. So there's not as much hype around him as there is a couple of the other players who have been posted, but he seems to be kind of a DH type who might fall in with a National League team on maybe a 1 or 2 year deal if the DH does stay universal in 2021. Probably not an Orioles candidate, but somebody to keep an eye on coming to Major League Baseball. And then the Royals did make another move today. They signed Michael A. Taylor. So the Kansas City Royals have been the most active team in free agency so far, one of the worst teams in baseball over the past couple of years. Michael A. Taylor gets a one-year, $1.75 million contract. The former Nationals center fielder, who was actually outrighted off the Nats 40-man roster this offseason, he elected free agency, and he will sign with the Royals and compete. Really, he's at the point where he's got to compete for a major league job. It's not even, you know, a lock that he'll be on KC's opening day roster, as his career kind of took a tumble over the last couple of seasons in Washington. So we'll see if the 29-year-old center fielder can kind of bring it back together in KC. And then finally, maybe something to look for, at least in terms of the Orioles, potentially picking up some pitchers. Luis Perdomo was released by the Padres today. The 27-year-old right-handed pitcher did not pitch well over his last couple of seasons with San Diego. He was a former Rule 5 pick by the Padres, and he's been in their organization for a few years now. But he was not very good over 17 and a third innings this year. Then he was shut down with a forearm injury, and then he underwent Tommy John. So he's going to be out for the entirety of the 2021 season. But we'll see if a team would take a chance on him. You know, we mentioned Mike Minor signed a two-year deal a couple years ago with KC, knowing that he would miss the first year of the deal. We'll see if a team does that, you know, kind of get Perdomo into the building, work with his rehab, and then try and unleash him in 2022. Maybe a low-level name to look for the Orioles this offseason. But that's where we go next after the break. On this Mailbag Monday, our question, which starting pitchers could the Orioles potentially be looking at in free agency if they do? And we know this year is much different than last year because the Orioles have a lot of young starters who are going to compete for the spots, including four spots that it seems like are locked up in their rotation. But you know they're going to bring in at least one veteran, maybe two, on a minor league deal who will compete in spring training. We're going to look at the names who could fill that list for the Orioles in terms of some small-sized free agent signings this offseason. That comes up after the break. Built Bar has come back even better. The protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, well, now it has even more flavors that make it taste even better than it already did. They've got new flavors like caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, and carrot cake. That kind of stuff, you know, you start thinking about fall flavors, those fit right in right there for Built Bar. They've still got the 12 original flavors like peanut butter, mint brownie, and toffee almond, but the bar's still covered 100% in chocolate, soft and easy to chew. But they don't just taste great, they're also good for you. That's the best part about Built Bar as well. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for a keto diet as well. You talk about the peanut butter bar, it's got 19 grams of protein and just 180 calories while only 5 grams of sugar. This bar is delicious and good for you as well. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. So we're back here with you on another Mailbag Monday episode. And today's listener question comes about the Orioles in free agency. Now, you know, we know the Orioles aren't going to make a lot of big moves this offseason, but there'll be some minor signings that they will try and go after. And the question becomes for this offseason, and the question here on this Mailbag Monday, is who do you see the Orioles pursuing in terms of starting pitchers in free agency this offseason? Now, to answer that question, you first have to look at the Orioles roster, because right now, barring any injuries, it feels like the Orioles have four of those five starting rotation spots pretty much locked up heading into opening day of 2021. You figure John Means will start on opening day for the Orioles. You probably slot Alex Cobb in there somewhere. He might start as the number two guy with a veteran presence, but he'll be in there for the O's if they don't cut him loose this offseason. And then you add the two rookies last year who impressed, Dean Kramer and Keegan Aiken. And right there, you've got four guys in that rotation. Then you look past that, and you look at the players who the Orioles have added to their 40-man roster just last week. Of course, one guy who may have been in that conversation is Thomas Eshelman, who was DFA'd off the Orioles 40-man roster last week to make room for Chris Shaw, who the Orioles claimed from the San Francisco Giants, the outfielder who we talked about on Friday's episode. So if you want to learn more about Chris Shaw, go back and listen to Friday's pod. But looking at the 40-man roster, besides those four guys, you have other options as well for the Orioles. Bruce Zimmerman, who, you know, made two appearances, one start, one relief appearance at the end of 2020. He's a guy who's going to be vying for that number five starter role for the O's. And then you have three of the guys who the Orioles added to the 40-man roster, the three prospects, Michael Bauman, Zach Lowther, and Alex Wells, are all going to be competing for that spot. And then you still have Jorge Lopez on this 40-man as well, who made a good amount of starts for the Orioles in 2020 after they claimed him off of waivers from the Royals. And Lopez at least did enough to keep him on the 40-man this long. Now, he is a guy who could be in danger of a DFA at some point later this offseason, but he is still an option for the O's. However, with the success that Mike Elias had in his minor league deals as far as starting pitchers go last year, you have to think that the Orioles are going to bring in at least one starting pitcher. Because A, you really only have four spots locked up, which means this is another spot to compete for. It's always good to have a veteran guy in there competing. And you don't know about injuries. You don't know how these young guys like Aiken and Kramer will perform at the beginning of the season. And maybe, you know, each of those guys need a little more time at AAA at some point in 2021. And, you know, it's good to have Alex Cobb be that veteran guy, but he's on a pretty hefty contract. You'd love to have, you know, a guy on a cheaper contract who's also been around the block a bit to come in and help you out. So I've got five names that the Orioles could pursue this offseason. And I want to start with the two easy ones because, frankly, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And the first two names on that list are Tommy Malone and Wade LeBlanc. I mean, it worked out pretty perfectly for the Orioles last season. They bring Malone and LeBlanc in on the one-year contracts. They both end up making the opening day roster. Malone starts on opening day because of the injury to John Means. Malone pitches fantastically. They trade him to the Atlanta Braves, end up getting two prospects from Atlanta for him. And then LeBlanc, of course, wasn't great through four starts, got injured, missed the rest of the season, but he's still a good veteran guy to have around. He's going to be 100% healthy going into spring training. There's a little more of a question about Malone's health. He did get injured while with Atlanta, missed the rest of the season, didn't pitch really the final 3 weeks or the playoffs with the Braves. But we'll see. It looks like he still has a good chance to be healthy for next year. And those two guys are really at the top of your list. If you can bring the both of them in on minor league deals, probably a better chance to get LeBlanc because he's coming off the full injury than Malone, who had a much better season. But if you get one of those two guys, you add a lefty, a guy that's been around in camp anyway, had success with you, knows his way around in Sarasota and in Baltimore, it would be a good guy to bring back and compete for that number five spot and help out with all these younger pitchers in spring training. So those are the first two names, but I wanted to give three more names that the Orioles could potentially look at. And this isn't the whole list of guys they could bring in. There's a lot of names as far as, you know, kind of lower end free agent starting pitchers who would be commanding either just minor league contracts or 1 year deals going into 2021. But I picked up three guys who could fit to different levels with the Orioles. And I'm going to start with a right-hander, Orasro Ramirez. Now, Ramirez has been around with a few teams since coming up to the big leagues with Seattle in 2012 at age 22, and he's really had a pretty good major league career. He's made 199 career appearances since 2012. 92 of them have been starts, and he has a career 4.31 ERA. Now, we last saw him with the Mets in 2020. He pitched in six games out of the bullpen with New York, and in 14 and a third innings out of the pen, he allowed just one run on eight hits, struck out nine and walked four, a 0.63 ERA for Ramirez. That was after he had spent 2019 with the Boston Red Sox and had spent the entire year in AAA. He only got one appearance with the Red Sox in 2019, pitching at their AAA affiliate as a starter the whole season. And so really, in New York, that was the first time he'd been used as exclusively a reliever in pretty much his entire career. He had been a starter all the way up until 2020. His last really full major league season is probably 2017. He made 10 starts in 2018 in his last year with Seattle, and he had a 6.50 ERA in that season where he spent some time at AAA and also was injured. But in 2017, he split time between Seattle and Tampa Bay, and he made 19 starts, 37 appearances, 131 innings, and a 4.39 ERA. Now, he's always been right around, you know, major league average pitcher. And the Orioles could take that. He's not going to command a lot of money, probably just going to be a one-year deal guy going into 2021. A 30-year-old right-handed pitcher who, again, has, you know, logged now 655 big league innings. He's been with four different teams. He's pitched in the AL East as he spent 3 years with Tampa from 2015 through 2017. And he knows how to, you know, pitch in some of these ballparks like Yankee Stadium and Camden Yards. And I think it would be a good addition for the Orioles to bring him in, let him compete. And the other thing he can do, which he showed in 2020 with the Mets, he can have success out of the bullpen as well if the Orioles wanted to move him into, you know, maybe that kind of swing role. But I think he could be a good name for Baltimore. Next up is a name that if you really didn't pay attention to the KBO at all this season, this is a guy you're probably not going to recognize because he's only pitched in four career Major League Baseball games. And that is Eric Jokic. He is a left-handed pitcher who pitched in the KBO this season with the Kiwoom Heroes and had a fantastic year. It was his second consecutive year in the KBO. He went over to Korea in 2019, made 30 starts with the Heroes, had a 3.13 ERA, so Kiwoom brought him back, and then he was fantastic. You could argue at times he was the best pitcher in the KBO, if not one of the top three guys out there throughout the season. 27 starts with the Kiwoom Heroes, 160 innings, and a 2.14 ERA as their ace this year, helped lead that team to the playoffs in 2020. The left-hander, he is 31 years old, still got a good amount of baseball ahead of him, was an 11th round pick by the Cubs back in 2010 out of Northwestern, an Illinois native who did make it to the big leagues. He only made it once, but did make it to the big leagues back in 2014 with the Cubs. Pitched in four games, made one start, 14 and a third innings, three earned runs, 18 hits, 10 Ks, four walks. That's a 1.88 ERA for him in really his only time at the big leagues. He had spent, you know, a good amount of time at AAA with the Cubs, with Texas, with Miami, Arizona, and most recently he was in Oakland in AAA during the entire 2018 season, where he had a 4.06 ERA in 23 starts before heading to Korea. But he did enough in the KBO in 2020 to probably command, you know, definitely some minor league deals and maybe a major league contract for 2021. And this could be a flyer the Orioles could take because not a lot of people have seen him in the majors. Again, only four MLB games, but he's a guy who's going to come in and compete. Doesn't have the most overpowering stuff, but it's coming off a real confidence booster and a great season in the KBO. And I think he could really help the Orioles if they wanted to extend him a one-year deal to bring him back over to the U.S. Now, the final name I want to bring up is definitely a little more off the Orioles' radar, a guy that's probably going to command a little bit more than the Orioles want to pay for a guy who's going to compete for their number five spot. But it's a name that's been connected very loosely to the Orioles so far this offseason. And it's just someone I wanted to bring up, and that is Chris Archer. Now, a couple years ago, this would have seemed ridiculous for the Orioles to pay what Chris Archer wanted in free agency. And that's when he was tearing up the Orioles as a member of the Rays. Of course, made his big league debut in 2012 with Tampa. He made the All-Star team with the Rays in 2015, where he was fifth in Cy Young voting, also made it in 2017. He was third in AL Rookie of the Year voting in 2013 when he was fantastic. Just had that incredible career with the Rays. And then in 2018, at the deadline, the Rays trade him to Pittsburgh. Of course, in that great deal for Tampa that brought them back Austin Meadows, Tyler Glasnow, and Shane Baz, one of the worst deals, really, of the 21st century from the Pirates' standpoint. as he went to Pittsburgh, has not pitched well in Pittsburgh. He was okay down the stretch in 2018. Then in 2019 with the Pirates, 23 starts and a 5.19 ERA for Chris Archer. He did not pitch in 2020 with Pittsburgh. He is now a free agent. I don't think he's going to command a lot of money. He is now 32 years old, coming off of two pretty poor seasons and one where he didn't pitch. And, you know, he could be a lot cheaper than you would think Chris Archer would be. He's still 32. He can still turn this thing around. It's really only been two bad seasons after a really, really good career that, of course, started all the way back in Cleveland when he was a fifth-round pick by Cleveland out of high school in 2006. He could help the Orioles. And it might be a little out of their price range because even though he struggled the last few years, he's still going to get a major league deal, probably a multi-year deal, and command more than $2 or $3 million per year. But if the Orioles want to splurge a little bit, maybe give him a little bit more money for 1 year, hopefully they can fix him up a bit. And at the very least, maybe flip him at the deadline or, you know, keep him for the whole season and try to extend him past that. It's definitely a name that's a little bit out there for Baltimore, and I don't know if Mike Elias is going to pay enough to bring in Chris Archer. But he's someone who has pitched in the AL East for most of his career, had success against the teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox and Toronto, and of course had success against the Orioles as well, pitching at Camden Yards. Something to consider if the Orioles want to shell out a little bit more money for a starting pitcher. I don't think it'll be Archer. I think it would be more like someone like a Malone or a LeBlanc or an Erastro Ramirez. But Archer, just keep that name in your thoughts here this offseason. So that's what the Orioles could potentially do, looking for a couple more veteran starting pitchers in free agency heading into 2021. But we start a new week here on the pod as we've got another deadline coming up. That would be on Wednesday. It is the deadline to non-tender players. The Orioles, of course, have a couple of candidates, including Pat Valaika, Pedro Severino, and Hanser Alberto. We talked about the Orioles' non-tender candidates last Monday on a Mailbag Monday episode. Go back and listen to that one if you want to hear what the Orioles might do on Wednesday. They could make all three of those guys, Valaika, Severino, and Alberto, free agents and not offer them contracts heading into 2021. When you non-tender someone, you basically decide, we're not going to go to arbitration. We're just going to cut off your contract and make you a free agent. A lot more of that is going to happen this offseason in Major League Baseball than it usually does because teams are going to blame the pandemic for saying they have no money when the owners really do. But it's going to give them an excuse to non-tender a lot of guys who usually would stick with their teams. There's going to be more free agents than usual. And Hanser Alberto and Pedro Severino might not be Orioles after Wednesday, so we will continue to cover that. But when we're back with you tomorrow, we're going to take a little dip into the Orioles farm system. And I know this offseason we've been talking a lot about, you know, some of the deeper prospects for the Orioles, but I wanted to get back to the top. What has made the Orioles into a top 10 farm system for really what feels like the first time ever? That's Adley Rutschman. That's Grayson Rodriguez. That's DL Hall, the guys and the names we have heard about for the last 2 years. How good can they really be? That's the question we're going to ask on tomorrow's podcast. Aram Layton is going to join the pod for the second time. He's the host of Locked On Marlins and also the host of Locked On MLB Prospects, covering all things minor leaguers and the prospect system for all 30 teams. So Aram will join us tomorrow talking about Adley, DL, and Gray Rod. Should be a good conversation then. So that is coming up tomorrow on Tuesday. We are back with you here on the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.